Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN 2, SiriusXM Channel 80. Download the podcast. We are coming to you live from the Seaport at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase.
Like, music like this always reminds me of like Sandro Pay, something like one of those scenes you're just bouncing. Never been.
I would say Mykonos. Nope.
Mykonos. Ooh.
Yes,
ooh,
man.
Yeah.
Great time.
Dope place in Mykonos called Scorpios. You gotta check it out.
That's exactly where I hear music like this at. Scorpios.
Yeah. You been?
Yes, I've been there.
What?
Yes.
Let me find out about you.
That outdoor party.
I like
it. The only thing about it that was weird though is like, you seen people like dressing up in costumes, and I'm like, why do they have on like costumes?
Like, well, also at Scorpios though, you would see like all these massive yachts and these people taking these really big boats into. I'm like, wait, that's your second boat?
Yeah,
unbelievable. Your second boat attached to? Wow.
And what's the other one? Nikki Beach.
Nikki Beach, yeah. Nikki Beach too, yeah.
The two athletes talking about the Mediterranean.
I get around a little bit, Jay. I get around a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I see you, Harry. I see you.
Just got back from Colombia, you know, had a great time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the Jersey Shore.
To Jersey Shore.
From the beaches of Mykonos to the Jersey Shore.
By the way, I'm still
to
not
Seaside Heights.
I'm still not done with our Nicolas Cage conversation. Well, we're going to get into that too.
All right.
Leave that because you guys were getting on me before about never having seen Con Air. I haven't seen any of the bad Nicolas Cage movies apparently.
No, and also but some then, people have chimed them to the show and said that at times you look like Nicolas
yes,
Cage.
That's true. When he look on
the
a good day he looks
similar.
Like listen, but the point
noses are similar.
Well, that might be true too. But it occurred to me after we talked about him. You guys are giving me stuff for not seeing Con Air. I'll keep by far clearly his three best movies. I'll bet you haven't seen two of them.
But you can't
two
say,
of the three best that he's done. He's only done three good movies, as far as I know.
But you can't say that here are his three best movies when you haven't seen all of his.
Trust
movies,
me,
Max.
Trust me.
I just diced you up so quick.
No, trust me.
I just sa.
As soon as you see when you get to a certain level of intelligence, Jay, you get certain signals. All right, you could size it up. You could dismiss it immediately. That's how I go through life, missing out on experiences by being too judgmental. His three best movies are Peggy Sue Got Married, directed by Coppola, Francis Coppola.
Jeez, I know I didn't see that.
Raising Arizona, directed by the Coen brothers. And then Face Off, directed by John Woo. Because an actor, it could be the greatest actor in the world, depends on who the writer and the director is. That's the whole shooting match.
Face Off, I give you that one.
Yeah, Raising Arizona and Peggy Sue Got Married, two best movies.
I haven't seen those
yeah,
two
that's
at
right.
all.
That's right. And you guys haven't seen that. So I don't want to hear about not seeing Con Air.
At Jazz Johnson 10 says Nicolas Cage is a far better actor than Keanu and showcased it in Face Off and Leaving Las Vegas. I don't know how
maybe whether or not
that.
He's a better actor, how good an actor you are is almost irrelevant. It's what projects are you in? Are you in the kind of stuff you want that people want
well,
to see?
Hold on, Max. That's not it's irrelevant.
Well, I give you Keanu Reeves, right? Like, but Keanu Reeves movie probably going to be pretty good. Is he the best actor you've ever seen?
Well, it's Matrix. You know. I mean, Matrix is like boom.
All right, we've had another day to digest the Kyler contract news, guys. Did he make the right choice by signing that contract? Harry, I know just now you're like, maybe they were desperate enough where he could have gotten more?
Yeah, I will say no, because when you look at the Arizona Cardinals and you look at what this team was before Kyler Murray got there. Now, granted, I'll say this before I'm about to make my statement. Am I happy about the stipulations that were put into his contract? No, because obviously it had to be something on Kyler Murray's side to make them want to do that. And I also think it's an embarrassment for not just him, but also the team. Now, in saying that, the Arizona Cardinals are in desperate need. Desperate need of what? A franchise quarterback. You can't find those guys anywhere. I won't say anywhere. It's just hard to come by.
Apparently, they still are. That's the problem.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like they're hard to come by. So when you have one, you want to keep them, and you'd basically do anything to keep that guy in your organization. They gave this man $230.5 million, 160 guaranteed, knowing that they had to put stipulations in there. And if I'm Kyler Murray and I'm his camp, I'm looking at that. I'm saying, you know what? No, I'm not signing it. Because you are showing me how desperate you are. You are showing me that you do need me. And when we look at the numbers over the last 2 years and before Kyler Murray got there, yes, he is everything that they want to do moving forward. And he is that franchise quarterback. So, no, I wouldn't have signed it. I would have told him, no, take that out of the contract. Otherwise, I don't want it.
I'm just going to go one layer deeper because I'm kind of with you on that, Harry. But as a fan of the NFL and as – a person that's heard a lot of stereotypes with black and brown quarterbacks. One of the things I hate about what happened yesterday And Max said it off air, and I knew the conversation was going to happen because automatically people are going to, you know, race bait and do things of that sort around these type of conversations. But there, it kind of revealed something to me and made me aware of it again, is that the amount of pressure and weight that is on black and brown quarterbacks to move away from these type of stereotypes, that then when you see these stipulations in a contract for Kyler Murray, that we've had so many conversations about trying to move away from that. It bothers me because it just continues to perpetuate it. And it's a different weight that I feel like black and brown quarterbacks have to carry because your margin for error is zero. Zero. Nilch. Right? Because then people start talking about that. And then you hear the other side of the fence, oh, here we go, black quarterbacks, and hey, tell me it's going to be a race thing. And I'm like, no. So it just, it so bothers me. And it's unfair. It's not fair that kind of pressure is on Kyler Murray. But naturally, as a quarterback who is black or brown, you inherently have it.
Yeah.
You inherently have it.
You're representing a group rather than just yourself, right? A white quarterback doesn't have to worry about representing a group. He has to worry about playing football. But there's an additional weight because I don't know that it's race baiting to discuss it. It's interesting because you think how much of this is perpetuated by the media, people like us in the media who discuss it and bring it up. And on the other hand, it's a fact of American life because of the original sin of our country. And so we are not post-racial and this exists. Harry, when people criticize, for example, okay, Kyler Murray is one thing. Clearly the team has, by the way, not just his team, his teammates, including African-American teammates, yes. Right? One of whom was on this program, were critical of his leadership and maturity, right? That exists for Kyler Murray. But then there's someone like Lamar Jackson,
yeah.
Who, even though he represents all the values you want to see in a quarterback, also is who he is. He's authentically who he is and is a you know, he's identifiable, the area of the country he's from, his race, etc., from the way he talks, right? The way you can hear it, you can see it on him. It's very, he's identifiable as a member of the group. And therefore, criticism of him, especially as it relates to stereotypes of black quarterbacks and athletes generally, I think a lot of people, especially African Americans and those who are sensitive to issues where African Americans are treated unfairly and stereotyped, people are almost hesitant at times to engage in that conversation, or they don't want to go there with the criticism. What am I talking about? Lamar Jackson is fast. His legs are his number one weapon. He certainly can sling it, but he has yet to show, probably because he got unlucky this year and got hurt. He's been remarkably durable until now. But as a result, has yet to have a full season where he's beating teams in the playoffs and making a deep run from the pocket. Mm-hmm. And I think some people are hesitant to bring up that criticism and others are hesitant to hear it because of what I mentioned, how identifiable he is with a group, how that group has been stereotyped. But the fact is that some of that stuff is true about Lamar Jackson, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a fine line because I'm not going to lie, I get upset at my race and our people, Jay, black people, because it's like we can't even criticize Lamar Jackson without people feeling some type of way. And I understand why they feel that way. And that's another reason why I get upset at a guy like Kyler Murray for not doing what he's supposed to do and also signing that deal with those stipulations in it, because it goes far beyond him. It goes far beyond him. Lamar Jackson is coming up. His deal is coming up next. You don't leave the door open for things like this to continue to happen. That's why you don't sign deals like that. That's why you tell the Arizona Cardinals, you know what? No, I'm not accepting that. Take it out or I'm good. The Arizona Cardinals need you. Trust me, they need you.
Yeah.
But when you look at a guy like Lamar, though, like, I get upset with when people get mad. How can you talk about your guy? Like, listen, I love Lamar. I love him. He's my Louisville alum. But there are areas that he has to get better in. And I want people to stop saying, because a black person says this about Lamar, says that about Lamar, that you're showing up your race or you're not sticking with your own.
It's further complicated.
It's crazy to me.
It's further complicated. Well, Warren Moon, who's a great quarterback, Hall of Famer, said all these couldn't even get a job in the NFL as a quarterback because he was black, right? And therefore, you have to play receiver. Get out of here with that. Went, had to leave the league and come back. So, of course, there's going to be a sensitivity to it around Lamar, particularly when the criticism is on, at least not in terms of his leadership or study habits or anything, but in terms of his pocket passing, was particularly when the criticism plays into a stereotype, yeah, even if there's overlap with the criticism and the truth. But it's further complicated by the fact that Lamar has won an MVP. Lamar is a great player. He is trending in the right direction. He's a team carrier, even when the team is destroyed by injury. And yet, I have to be honest, if someone said, who do you want, Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow, who's been in the league really 1-2 years, but I'm taking Joe Burrow.
Me too.
I'm taking Justin Herbert.
Me too.
I think I'm taking Josh Allen, although it's close for me between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
Me
They're
too.
Similar in certain
And that's
ways.
No knock on Lamar Jackson. It's just, I just seen Josh Allen in a divisional game against Patrick Mahomes go toe-to-toe and did everything that he was supposed to do to put his team in the AFC Championship game, but the defense let him down. Special teams not squib ticking, let him down.
It is further complicated, by the way, by the fact that, again, even though I'm saying that about Burrow and Herbert, whoever else, Lamar's done things those guys haven't done.
Yeah.
And in this past season, before he got hurt, he spent 3 separate weeks to me as the best player on the earth. Right? So it's not so cut and dried. It's a complicated issue.
I have
Dave
a lot
in Tampa,
to say about this.
Yeah, Dave in Tampa wants to say something. Let's listen to him and we'll respond on the other end. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, guys, I love the show. I listen every day. But Harry, you said something yesterday about how it was disgraceful that they had to put it in the contract that showed the lack of, competitive to want to be better. If it came out, if Kyler Murray would have said, no, I'm not signing that contract, and the Cardinals would have come out and said, we offered him the biggest contract to anybody, but he didn't want to sign it because he didn't want to watch 4 hours of game time a week, we would chastise Kyler Murray. Nobody would ever let that go.
I mean, we're chastising him regardless, right? Right or wrong. But see, when you look at it from Kyler Murray's standpoint and you look at him being a black quarterback and then you look at Lamar Jackson and you look at a guy like Michael Vick, if he would have been studying more, what he could have been, you look at Jamarcus Russell not doing what he wanted to do, it's bigger than just one person, especially when you're talking about a race.
The thing that's crazy, though, is Dak Prescott. I mean, like, he does all the work. There are other Russell Wilson. There are examples of other black quarterbacks that do all the work.
Mahomes.
Exactly.
Coming up, Jay is loaded, has a lot to say about this, and you will hear it coming right up. Jason Reed, by the way, ESPN senior NFL writer and author of Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America, will join us at 8:30 a.m. to discuss this topic. All right, Jay is going to weigh in. And by the way, Jerry Jones says he believes Mike McCarthy is the man to lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl. Any of us buying that? Keyshawn, Jay Willimax, Harry Douglas in for Key ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
The recently signed extension of Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray includes a rare clause that requires him to study film for 4 hours per week during the season.
Obviously, there's language stipulated in this contract that proves that this dude is not in love with the process to be great.
This is another sign that this is a bad contract. When somebody is some way and you give them money, it makes them more what they are.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio. Sirius XM Channel 80, Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, not only with us, but with us here
CD.
At Seaport.
Yeah.
In New York. No palm trees behind you now, brother.
I got to wear pants.
Look sharp,
put
too, man.
Pants on.
Got Sharpie looks, man.
I put my there pants go, on
Harry.
For you.
You're very well dressed, by the way, much like Harry. I'm wearing kind of like normal clothing, and Harry, then there's Jay
that's
Will.
That's normal clothes for the East Hamptons.
You know, I mean, the jacket has gone out of style or something. Oh, like, I don't know what happened.
No, the jacket's in style. I just feel like a winner today. So I wanted to wear my Mets jersey. That's all.
Middle of summer. He's got a hoodie on with a jersey over it.
Well, first off, it's cold in the studio. Well, let's stop acting like Victoria, everybody here, our camera lady, is not wearing a hoodie.
Jay, we were on a serious
just
topic.
Just accept you're underdressed,
it's
Jay.
It's so hot just outside. It's 10 degrees in this damn studio.
The is. Mets are so sorry. He's now like the Spike Lee of the Mets. He's like the most famous guy.
What does it say about your Yankees?
He's the Jack Nicholson of the Mets.
Our sorry team beat you.
You can't win every game, Jay.
Did you pay for that jersey?
Yankees are trying.
Nah, come on, man. I got my name.
Oh, okay.
Come on, don't do that. So the game Max was like, oh, they give you a Trevor Williams jersey. I'm like, this guy, man, drink some more coffee.
It was before my coffee
my name
this morning.
On the back of the jersey.
All right, Jay, we were on a serious topic of stereotypes, African-American quarterbacks, the fact that how does this look to have the clause in Kyler Murray's contract that says he has to study that plays into a stereotype, even if in his case it seems to be the case that he needs to be incentivized to study. Harry was discussing the fact that he gets criticized for being critical of Lamar Jackson. I was talking about how Lamar, because he is authentically who he is, even though he represents the best values of what people aspire to be in the NFL, it also there's sensitivity around criticism of him because he's so clearly a member of a group that has been stereotyped and marginalized that even if the criticism is legitimate, there's sensitivity to it. You had a lot to say, and we went to commercial break.
So I understand the history of the NFL. I understand the stereotypes that were put on black quarterbacks. 1,000,000%. It's one of the reasons, even in basketball, that I studied the game so much is because the basketball IQ for black point guards was like a thing. My dad would talk to me about it growing up. So I recognize all that. But the example of Kyler Murray is not the norm of black quarterbacks right now. It's not. So I see Dak Prescott. I don't see issues with the playbook. I see Patrick Mahomes. I see Russell Wilson. I see Lamar Jackson, who may not be a traditional quarterback that throws it from the pocket, but has a very high football IQ. So I understand that people are going to attach it to that and then build it into a narrative, but that is not the norm. I think that is more of a singular case for Kyler Murray, not for black quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say that.
Well, that's the burden of having to not just be yourself, but always having to represent a group of people. And because race is tied to class, because of the original sin of this country, that is what African-American athletes are dealing with, right? Like, I mean,
And I would even say, Jay, to piggyback off what you just said, that's why when you're a Kyler Murray, you can't give owners, you can't give GM head coaches leeway to want to put things like this in a contract, because we do have those examples of it not being the way the Kyler Murray way or the Michael Vick way or the Jamarcus Russell way. We have great examples right now. But we know how this world works also. All it takes is one time to not be on point, and now you hear that criticism coming back all over the place again.
What's the reaction?
That's the way our world is it right? No, but that's the way our world works.
Jeff, what's the reaction been around the league to the independent study clause where Kyler Murray has to do that for 4 hours on his own time or the deal can be voided?
Well, I think what Jay was saying hits a nail on the head, whether we're talking about race or quarterbacks in general, from the standpoint that this is not the norm in general with NFL contracts. I was just texting this morning with an NFL GM who, this is what he said. He said, I would never We've never done that, nor would my owners want me to do that. It draws too much attention, and it's not worth the paper it's printed on with an arbitrator anyway.
Mm.
So the kind of, I guess that's what this all comes back to. Is it worth it? Like, what's the point? It doesn't really necessarily benefit anybody to have that contract language in there. So I would say that most people around the league are a little bit stumped by it too.
Mm.
And I don't know if that comes back to Kyler Murray or if it comes back to the organization.
Coincidentally, the next man up is another African-American quarterback who kind of, they're the only two, maybe along with Josh Allen, who could be in this group of quarterbacks where the legs maybe are their number one asset. Maybe you can't say that about Josh Allen. He throws a ball 70 miles an hour, but Lamar is up next, right? So how does this affect Lamar at all from two points of view? There's the three points of view at least. There's the clause in the contract, which doesn't apply to Lamar, but maybe there could be some other clause. There is the factor of race, and there's also the fact that Lamar is the next quarterback up.
Lamar Jackson ain't signing anything with that kind of clause in it. I guarantee you that.
He better not.
I mean, this is the same guy, by the way, who when he was coming out of the combine and everybody's saying, go to wide receiver, and he's like, no. I'm going to do what I want to do, and that's the Lamar Jackson way. Don't forget, when it comes to contract negotiations with Lamar Jackson, the team owner already came out and said, this is kind of because Lamar doesn't really necessarily want to talk to us about a contract. He is doing it his way. So I think that while Kyler Murray did it his way, Lamar Jackson absolutely is doing it his way. But there's no shot that you're putting a piece of paper in front of Lamar Jackson.
No way you never hear. Hear Lamar Jackson's offensive lineman come on this show and say he's immature.
Exactly,
right? Like he needs to grow up. You never hear that.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely something that people talk about around the league. I don't know Kyler's study habits well enough to know whether it's merited or not, but it's definitely something that gets discussed around the league.
Well, the thing that bothers me the most is that they have 4 hours a week in a contract. Like, that's a lot of time.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of time. That's why I'm upset at Kyler and his representation for signing that.
Yeah.
4 hours a week is nothing, Jeff. But, nothing.
But maybe, and that's what's so weird about it, and that's why what this general manager was telling me is interesting, because it's like, it's not even something that you could, like, enforce.
Like, you can complete that in one day.
Yeah.
Literally, complete that in one day.
Probably should. Probably do. Most guys probably do, right? So, the idea that it needs to be in a contract is definitely, I don't know. It's kind of inquisitive.
Now, Jeff, even though one GM said that, do you think this could be a precedent for other franchises potentially moving forward about these type of stipulations?
Guys could try. I bring up this one point of contact with this general manager just from, I thought the most interesting part was the arbitration aspect of it. And I don't know anybody who's really been through any kind of legal battle or any kind of arbitration or anything like that knows that stuff gets thrown out pretty fast. I mean, good luck proving whether or not a guy studied for 4 hours. And what does that even mean? I saw a great meme the other day. Someone talking about I can't remember where it even came from, but someone talking about Kyler Murray preparing for the Jets this week, and it was him playing a video game with the Jets. How are you ever going to prove what he's doing? He's doing prep work. Like, how are you ever going to prove that? It's not even something that is, like, I mean,
don't worry.
If I was Kyler Murray and someone put that contract in front of me, part of me would probably be like, no, I'm not signing that garbage. But then the other part of me would be like, I don't care. Just let me sign it.
Yeah, by the way, he was in the middle of a video game. He couldn't be bothered to read the contract.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyler, you want $160 million? Yeah, hold on 1 second. Hold on, I'll pause this. All right, now let me go.
The worst part about the whole thing is the precedent that it sets. That's
yes.
It.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like we said, it's not something that can be enforced. It's just not.
You don't want to open Pandora's box, man.
When I think about Lamar, though, Mike T has been on this Just In, terrific show, 2 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. this week on ESPN.
It's not a new show anymore.
Handsome host. Well, it's still under a year.
It's over
just
a
barely.
Year.
No, just barely under it.
What kind of host?
Handsome. So he's not there for his hosting skills, believe me. He's eye candy. Now, but the point is, Mike T was saying, hey, this is an easy negotiation if I was his agent. I go in, I say, I don't need a penny more than $230 million, but I ain't taking a penny less. The more I think about Lamar, though, he needs more than $230. If I'm Lamar Jackson, the number is $250, and I'll tell you why, Jeff.
I agree.
He has no off-the-field issues like Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. He has no maturity issues. These are just the last guys up, like Kyler Murray.
Right.
He has done everything that he has been asked of him. His teammates love him. He's won an MVP. He's gotten better and better. He was having his best season before he got hurt last year, and until that moment, he'd been remarkably durable.
Right.
I think I need 250. I think I need it all guaranteed.
And by the way, here's the thing for me. It's still always a supply and demand situational environment when it comes to these quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins, for instance, played the market perfectly, right? Think about what he did with free agency. He got himself there. Deshaun Watson.
You're right about that. Who said that? That's ridiculous.
Deshaun Watson did it in a very unique way by and putting the off the field part aside, because he actually was doing this before that even came to light. He forced himself out and forced that market for himself. So I think that everybody can go about it a unique way. Lamar Jackson is essentially saying, I'm just going to get to the end of the season and watch what happens.
That's crazy. This dude, talk about confidence. It's unbelievable.
Jeff, do you think the reality of getting 250 guaranteed
is... Yeah. It's very realistic. I mean, especially if a guy is willing to do to give more years, for instance, like what Patrick Mahomes did.
Yeah, I'm going to play for you forever. Give me my quarter billion.
Yeah.
Guarantee the whole thing.
In which they're going to have to go back at some point and redo that deal. Trust me. Because the way the market is skyrocketed.
Don't you feel like it's tough to have that much faith in yourself, but at the same time, like if you do the long-term deal and then force yourself to come to the table in 4 years, like that's still the right play if you're a quarterback.
Oh, of course.
You'll get the court of public perception every time if you exceed your expectations. So at least you have the security of a 10-year deal in case something goes wrong.
One thing, though, Jeff, about advising Lamar Jackson, which I'd been doing publicly, you better sign this, you better sign that. It seems to me that had he signed the deal when I thought he should have signed it, he'd be at least $100 million poorer than he will be. Maybe we all ought to stop giving him advice. He seems to get this process better than the rest of us.
I think that silence in this industry is a very scary thing for us. Like,
that's right.
The idea that things could be going on behind the scenes that we don't know about scares the hell out of all of us.
Particularly you, who seem to know everything that's going on behind the scenes.
Dude, this is a unique one. He's led by a team of people that is led by his mother in these contract negotiations. That is unique. That is not something that in this very conventional industry of agents making sure that they drive the public narrative, Lamar wants nothing to do
with that. Jeff Darlington's going to join the Jackson family to get the scoop. He will do anything for the information.
Oh, you don't think I would?
He'll be on the Christmas card.
Are you kidding me?
That's right. That's why we love him. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter extraordinaire. Your calls on Kyler's contract, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. And we will continue our conversation on Lamar Jackson and a very brave and courageous and very anonymous defensive coordinator ripping him. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Harry Douglas, in for Key, ESPN Radio. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, HD, in for Key. If he has to pass to win the game, they ain't winning the game. And that an anonymous NFL defensive coordinator was quoted in The Athletic. This is on Lamar Jackson. By the way, in the same article, apparently, Patrick Mahomes is not a tier one quarterback. On a side note, before I read the rest of this quote, there was a very famous computer fight during Muhammad Ali's exile, because he refused induction into the army during Vietnam War, where, by the way, he wasn't supposed to be drafted anyway. They reclassified him because they wanted to make an example out of him, the government did. Anyway, during his exile, he needed money, and he was undefeated, heavyweight champ, made 9 title defenses, and Rocky Marciano was the other undefeated heavyweight champ who retired and never came back. So they set up a computer fight between the draft-dodging, you know, black Muslim Muhammad Ali, who white America at the time really hated, and Rocky Marciano, who was Italian-American, white heavyweight champion, undefeated. Different styles, different... Now, Ali would have... No serious person thinks Marciano had a chance against Ali. He was 180 pounds. Ali was 212. Ali was 6'3", with an 80-inch reach. He'd have played with Marciano. But, you know, at the time, people were invested in it. So they set up a computer fight. And sure enough, Jay, that Marciano put on a wig because he was bald at the time, and Ali and Marciano staged a whole bunch of things. They got to be friendly, and they staged a whole bunch of stuff. You know, they shot it like a fight, like a movie, and a whole bunch of different endings to the fight, and the computer was supposed to decide who won the fight. And who do you think the computer in the 1960s picked to win the fight? So you went to a closed-circuit theater and you saw Rocky Marciano pretend to knock out Muhammad Ali. And later, Ali found a whole series of computer fights that this guy, the promoter, had done between black champions of the present and white champions of yesteryear. What do you think the white guys' records were against the black champions?
Surprise me.
Undefeated. Well, they all won, right? At any rate, in this same article, Patrick Mahomes is also not a tier one quarterback. Here's the quote from the anonymous DC. He's so unique as an athlete, and he's really a good football player, but I don't care if he wins the league MVP 12 times. I don't think he'll ever be a one as a quarterback, meaning a tier one. He'll be a one as a football player, but not as a quarterback. So many games come down to 2 minutes. I presume if Lamar Jackson wins the Super Bowl, that will change this person's mind, unless they have a religious belief that is resistant to any new information. If their belief is religious, meaning it's an undisprovable hypothesis, I believe this and nothing you could say can convince me otherwise, then you'll never convince this guy.
I'm not into name calling, but it just sounds to me like he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
People got to start putting their name on stuff, man.
It is possible that he really believes this and he has good reasons for believing it,
sure,
but the optics, as they say, are not good. Reese in Philly, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Harry Douglas in for Key today.
How are you? What's up, Reese? Hey, I watched this show. I'm an avid watcher of the show, and first and foremost, I want to say you all do excellent work. But I really want to comment on the current situation with Kyler Murray. You know, it's interesting as an avid watcher of football that many people have an issue with the proliferation of black quarterbacks in the league because we continue to have these same stereotypes. Case in point, we're talking about Kyler Murray and the clause in his contract. That is a bad precedent. From the standpoint that it perpetuates stereotypes. You know, we all heard the story of Michael Vick. Had he studied more, he'd have been better. And then, of course, Jamarcus Russell will forever be the poster child of a bad draft pick. So I really think that's a bad, bad precedent to put such a clause in the contract. Number two point I want to make is that in the football field where everyone's an athlete, why would you not want your quarterback to be athletic? If people on the opposite end of the ball or on defense are running a 4.40 to tackle me, why can't I run a 4.40 to get away? It's ridiculous to just have a quarterback who will only stay in the pocket. If you don't have the protection, you got to break from the pocket. And number three, which goes to my original point, I don't recall anyone putting the clause in Ben Roethlisberger's contract to say, you know, you will receive this money if you don't sexually assault women. So I'm just going to leave it at that point. I'm just going to leave it there.
Waldo in Baltimore, you're on with Harry Douglas and Jay and Max here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Waldo, we can't hear you. Hold on. We're going to put Waldo on pause till we get that figured out. Andrew in Detroit, what you got?
I just find it real funny that everybody keeps talking about Lamar Jackson and he couldn't be a great passer, but yet he doesn't have a number one receiver. He won an MVP without a number one receiver. Josh Allen got a lot better once Diggs got there. All the other quarterbacks who you name have top-tier A1 wide receivers, yet he doesn't have one. So how can you expect him to progress more as a passer if he doesn't have that receiver?
That's a good
point.
No.
You have a valid point. And the Baltimore Ravens, I don't think, have done a great job of getting him that number one guy. Hollywood Brown, you could say he was the number one, but not really the number one. Numerous of occasions, he dropped some balls, actually touchdowns that he should have caught.
Drafted Rashad Bateman, but we'll see
where he's going to be able to go. He's had solid tight ends, but I think another big part of that as well is the offense and the system that they're in, right? You can say it really doesn't demand that, but I truly do honestly believe they need a true number one wide receiver, even though they're a run-heavy first offense.
ESPN College football reporter Heather Dinich joins us to discuss the potential of Big Ten expansion.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
The recently signed extension of Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray includes a rare clause that requires him to study film for 4 hours per week during the season.
Obviously, there's language stipulated in this contract that proves that this dude is not in love with the process to be great.
This is another sign that this is a bad contract. When somebody is some way and you give them money, it makes them more what they are.
I'm on a new level.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Harry Douglas in for Key today. ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN 2, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance and have Heather Dinich, ESPN college football reporter, with us here at the Seaport in the flesh.
You see that, Graziano? That's what you do. When we ask you to dance, that's what you do, Graz. Right.
Heather, we're just talking about Kyler Murray, and I'm sure that you have information from the world of college football that could help illuminate our understanding of Kyler. Do you? Have you talked to people?
I do. I talk to people. Lincoln Riley, maybe nobody knows him better because he was his offensive coordinator. He was his quarterback coach. And he told me last night that he's coached two kinds of great players. And you guys will understand this. One player is the kind that needs to know every little detail to feel confident on the field. And the other is, tell me what I need to know, I'll get it done. And he's more of the latter. And he said, if I were to go play a game at any level today and give Kyler the playbook, I have absolutely zero doubt that he would be ready to play. Zero. He said he's going to continue to work on his preparation. But, I mean, I also talked to Oklahoma Athletic Director Joe Castiglione, who said absolutely not one bad thing to say about him when he was at OU from a preparation standpoint. Never got any free hall passes or anything like that. So that's where they're coming from the OU side.
It's fascinating because I do feel, and HD, I would love to kind of hear your jump from college to the pros, but when I was in college, athletically, I was able to do things differently than other people. So I had an understanding of what our basketball playbook was, but not at the same level that I needed to have an understanding as that playbook expanded when I got to the league and the athleticism got raised by two or three levels, right? Because then all of a sudden I was able to do the things I could do in college, but not to the same level. So the detail of the game to me was always a difference when I would hear guys like Kobe talk between being good and being great. So that's I hear what you're saying, Heather, but I am curious when you get to that level, that detail, that slight nuance, is a game changer. It gives you an advantage.
Well, yes, it is a lot different. And for me, I was in a pro-style offense in college. So did I have to adjust a lot on in those regards? No. But the speed of the game, the technique that DBs were playing, I may could have ran a 16-yard in cut in college and rounded it a little bit at the top and been okay because of the talent is so good. But in the National Football League, you better be coming back downhill to catch that football because that safety going to knock you out. On a curl route, I may can sink my hips, plant, come back to the quarterback a tiny bit and catch it and turn up field. In the National Football League, you better keep driving to the quarterback because you have a DB breaking at the same time that you're breaking. So the details of the game and how you have to be against your opponent, it's a lot different in college. You look at these quarterbacks now, right? They're going against DNs in college that probably won 4.8s, 4.9s. In the National Football League, these DNs are running 4.5, 4.6s now.
Yeah, look, the perfect is the enemy of the good, as I've been saying for a couple days now. Kyler is a really good quarterback. There's room for improvement. When you have the greatest athlete who's also the hardest worker and already practiced studying the details in college, like you said, Jay, but when you got to the pros, if they've already been doing it, you get Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant. These are the greatest of all time. Kyler may not be that, but he can still be really good. Okay, Heather, are you surprised that Kevin Warren said the Big Ten could end up expanding beyond SC and UCLA?
Not in the slightest, because he is continuing what we have heard from commissioner to commissioner to commissioner. This is the summer of speculation, guys. And it started in the Big 12 when incoming commissioner Brett Yormark said that they're open for business. And then it went to the SEC where Commissioner Greg Sankey said, well, I'm not going to say we will. I'm not going to say we won't. And then Jim Phillips in the ACC said all options are on the table. So, look, you have the Big Ten going to be at 16 teams and the commissioner saying we might not be done yet. And it doesn't surprise me because Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is extremely upset that UCLA found a way to break away from Cal. How did they do that? He went, the governor, this is where it gets political. The governor of California went to a Board of Regents meeting, which he doesn't usually do, behind closed doors and said, UCLA, you need to publicly explain how you did this. And they did it stealth is how they did it. So what does that mean? What are the repercussions? Does Cal join them in the Big Ten? I have no idea. Is Notre Dame the next domino? Nobody in charge seems to know these answers right now either, so we're going to continue to talk about it until they figure it out.
Okay. Heather will be the first to know, believe me, when they do figure this out.
So, Heather, I want to ask you about Notre Dame a little bit, and there were rumblings about the college football playoffs being expanded possibly to 16 teams at some point, right? If I'm Notre Dame, from their perspective, if I know the college football playoffs are going to expand to 16 teams, why am I joining the Big Ten? If I know I can remain independent and collect that money from my school and still make the college football playoffs.
And up the ante on your TV contract.
Yes. Like, why would it make sense for Notre Dame to go to the Big Ten?
Well, that's something that they have to consider. And that's why there are a lot of people around the sport saying, I don't think Notre Dame's going to do anything. Maybe they won't. They're in a great spot. And we look at Notre Dame through football tunnel vision, right? But this is a university identity. That is who they are. And they are very proud of that. They love to be loathed. We know how the Irish roll. And they don't have to do anything. That's very important. Everybody wants to know the bottom line. Where am I going to make the most money?
So very quickly, why is the college football expansion to 16 teams being – I just feel like people are dragging their feet on that conversation.
We have 20 seconds.
Well, they couldn't come to a decision on 12 teams. Automatic qualifiers in the Big Ten is a huge sticking point. Kevin Warren talked about that yesterday, too. Can he get over
that? Greg Sankey doesn't like that. He doesn't want that.
No, sir.
Notre Dame's always been an economic powerhouse, and that gives them a lot of leeway to make choices. The great Heather Dinich, ladies and gentlemen. Keyshawn, J. Willimax. Harry Douglas in for Key today. Mets top Yankees. Boo!
Say it again!
6-3 series opener. Hate it. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Willimax, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.